stand for the reading of the gospel. This is the word of the Lord. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, "You shall not murder," and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, "Raca," is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, "You fool," will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge. The judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, "You shall not commit adultery." But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, makes her the victim of adultery, and anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, "Do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made." But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Please be seated. Corruption. No matter where we go, no matter what we do, corruption is all around us. I tell you, it's just sickening. We read about it every day. We see it in the news every day. Everything is corrupt. Our society is just falling apart. Rome, that mighty empire, biggest empire in the world at one time, and it just fell apart from the inside because of moral decay and corruption. You know, it's okay to lie. Lying is one of the seven sins that are listed that God considers an abomination. But in our society today, man, it's no big deal. Politicians do it all the time. You know how a politician's lying, don't you? His lips moving, yeah. Just sports figures lie. Entertainment industry. Everybody lies. They lie to congressional committees. They lie to reporters. They lie to one another. And if they get caught, well, no big deal. You know, in Hollywood, man, you get caught in a lie, that's good news because negative exposure is better than none. Just lie, lie, lie. And the people who are supposed to be setting examples for our kids to follow, man, they can't find the truth anywhere. And the Star and the Inquirer and other papers like that, that's called yellow journalism. They make their money off of half-truths and lies. Lie, lie, lie. I'll tell you. And the father of all lies, according to the Bible, is Satan. It's the father of all lies. It is not an acceptable lifestyle, lying. And movies today. Movies today, and I've said this before, but movies today make heroes out of bad guys. They blur the line between lies and truth until you're not sure what to believe. Anybody here ever seen the movie John Wick? I got the movie, you know. My son just borrowed it yesterday. Looking forward to seeing John Wick 2. It's out now. I like the movie John Wick because it's action-packed from the beginning to the end. Keanu Reeves plays John Wick. Keanu Reeves was in Matrix, thank you. And I really like the guy and plays a great character. But here's how crazy this is. John Wick is a hitman for the mob. A very good hitman for the Russian mob. He was so good that they would say that the boogeyman was afraid of John Wick. And John Wick gets married and he leaves that lifestyle. His wife gets cancer and she dies. When she dies, she makes arrangements that upon her death, a little puppy would be sent to him so that he would have somebody to love. So he gets this puppy. And in the meantime, this Russian mob boss, his son and his buddies, they like John Wick's car. They see it at a gas station, and they want his car, and he won't sell it. Well, they don't know who John Wick is. So they break into his house, they beat him up, trash the place, kill his puppy, and take the car. So John Wick goes back into business, and he kills all these Russians, slaughters them left and right, kills the son, because they killed his puppy. Don't you feel bad for John Wick? He's a hitman for the mob. The man's a murderer, a killer. And yet Hollywood makes you feel bad for this man who's a murderer. You know, and they do it all the time. Where is the truth? And computers and technology, which I love. I love computers and technology. Yep, I love gadgets. But seeing isn't believing anymore. What you see is what you get. Might as well throw that one out the window. Because with computers and technology today, you don't know what to believe anymore. Commercials and anything on TV and Facebook and all that can be computer-generated images. You have no idea whether it's real or not. And people use it all the time to get over on us. Truth in advertising. Each one of you here has a product. You're all selling the same product. You've made your own product, and they all look different. And every one of you says, my product's the best. Well, somebody's lying. But you see it all the time in advertising. And the things that they advertise that they'll do, they don't do. And there's built-in obsolescence. Things go bad after a certain period of time. Truth in advertising. Jeez. Well, our scripture reading today, taken from the lectionary, shows us that corruption and lies, all that stuff existed forever with the dawn of time. It's always been bad. It's part of human nature. Part of the human nature. Matthew 5 says that it is not enough to act like you are holy if you're not holy in your heart. It's not enough to just go, so you didn't kill anybody, but in your heart you've hated people. Where you're just, the Bible tells us that you're just as wrong if you hate people in your heart as if you actually killed somebody. It's all about the attitude and integrity. If there's no integrity in us, then there can be no holiness. We have to have integrity. And integrity is that thing that you'll do when nobody's watching. What will you do? Do you have integrity? Will you do the right thing? Will you do what pleases God, whether anybody sees you or not? In Matthew 5:21, in God's kingdom here on earth, there's no room for hypocrites. That's what this passage is telling us from Matthew 5. There is no room for hypocrites. We've got to go beyond the law, what it says to do the right thing. We've got to feel and believe the right thing. And yet, even in Jesus' midst, we had Judas, who was a hypocrite, one of the 12 disciples. And he had no generosity for others. He was self-centered and greedy. Now, Jesus said he was chosen for a reason, to fulfill a purpose. But he was a hypocrite. And people, this place should be packed. We should have tons of people in here, both services. But we don't, and a big reason we don't is because people don't like hypocrites in church. That church is full of a bunch of hypocrites. I hear that all the time. You've probably heard that too. People who come on Sunday morning and act all holy and then run you off the road during the week. Cut in front of the line, selfish, mean-spirited, talk about you, stab you in the back, gossip, lie, cheat, steal. But in church Sunday morning, you know. James chapter 2, faith without works is dead. I'm telling you, you can talk all you want about being a Christian, but if you're not a Christian on the inside, you're wasting your breath. Being a hypocrite is not an acceptable lifestyle for a Christian. Matthew tells us that when you bring a gift to God, you've got to do it with a pure heart. So when you bring a gift to the altar to give to God, you're putting that money in the offering plate that goes around. That's a gift to God. If you know that somebody has a problem with you because of something you've done or said, you've got to take care of that, because that gift to God means nothing to God if you're not right with your fellow human being. We need to be right with one another. As far as it is possible, live at peace with other people. As far as it is possible for you, you're to do whatever it takes to love one another, to live at peace. Adultery. Matthew 5 tells us that it's not enough to just keep the law on the outside so you don't physically have an affair with somebody, but in your heart and in your mind, you lust after them all the time. In your heart and mind, you're always thinking of ways to get close to that person, to see that person. You're having an adulterous affair in your spirit. And you know what? Not only does it hurt your relationship, but it separates you from God. Because your heart is not pure. You're being devious. You're being self-centered. You're turning your back on God when you're lusting after other people. And it's something that is prone to the human nature. It's okay to see somebody who's really handsome and well set up, somebody that you think is, well, that's a fine looking. Oh no, see somebody that, you know, like Alan, you know, tall, big guy, you know, good looking, handsome fella. With the goatee, you know, more of that face you cover up, the better. So let that beard grow. But it's okay to feel that way about somebody, to think somebody looks nice and attractive. But then when you go out of your way to start dwelling on it and thinking about it and indulging yourself, then you're lusting. And God says, that's not right. So like the psalmist says, God, create within us a right spirit and a pure heart. Divorce. Divorce is not in God's plan for our lives. You know, and this is probably the hardest point I got to preach on, because divorce is so commonplace in our society. Over 50% of marriages end up in divorce. Because people get married a lot of times for the wrong reason, and because people get divorced because they're not happy. Life is not about whether we are happy or not. Now let those who have ears hear, because this goes for all of us. When you get up in the morning, you don't do that day what makes you happy. That is not our goal in life. And that may come as a shock to some of us. It is not about buying the thing that makes you happy, going to the place that makes you happy, having the things that you want to eat to make you happy, watching what you want to make you happy. Every day that we get up, our goal should be, what is it that makes God happy? Because my life is a living sacrifice for God. That's what each one of us should be saying. What is it, Lord, that will make you happy today? What can I do to make you happy? It's all about you. And divorce breaks his heart. See, because it says in Genesis chapter 2 that that woman was taken from the side of man and brought to the man, and the man said, this now is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. And for this reason, a man and his wife will cleave one unto the other and become one flesh. One flesh in the eyes of God. So that when that is broken apart through divorce, it actually dishonors God. And it shows a lack of faith on our part. I mean, and it's hard. It's hard. I read that. So I thought, oh God, I don't want to say this stuff. You know, but God's telling us that divorce is not a good thing. But we live in a broken world, and the reality is that divorce happens. God is the source of our joy, the source of our healing. God wants us to have an abundant life. We have to trust in God to make even our relationships better, to heal our relationships. You know, we could spend all night talking about that one. The Apostle Paul said it's better not to be married at all so that you can faithfully serve the Lord, so that there's no distractions, no divided loyalties. See, life is all about God. And don't swear by an oath. Don't swear by an oath. You know, don't swear by heaven or earth because it belongs to God. Don't swear by Jerusalem. Don't swear by the hair in your head. Don't swear by your mother's grave. Don't swear by anything. Because if you have to convince people that you're telling the truth, you've already missed the boat. We're Christians. We are children of God, and our word should be our bond. We should mean what we say and say what we mean as Christians, children of God, pure of heart, not devious, not lying, not half-truths, but honest and have integrity. And people should be able to take us at our word as Christians. So let your yes be yes and your no be no, period. This is easy stuff to say, but it's hard to do. Because our human nature fights us tooth and nail. Because we want to get angry at people. I'm telling you, if you're angry at somebody that has done you wrong, that has hurt you, you need to let it go. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. If you bring your gift to the altar and somebody has something against you, leave your gift there and go and get reconciled. You got to let it go. You cannot be a racist and be a Christian. Nope. And there's a whole lot of people that think that's okay, but it's not. The Bible makes that real clear. You cannot be a racist and be a Christian. If you are a racist, you can sit in church all you want. You're going to hell. Because if you call somebody a fool, you're in danger of the fires of hell. We just read that. And there are people out there who hate other people because they're a different nationality, different color, different age, different gender, different lifestyle. And they hate other people because of those reasons. Bible makes it clear. You're going to hell. So What is the point of all this? If these are things that we struggle with, and it's part of our human nature, and we live in a broken world, and these things have happened, and they are happening. What is the point of all this? Well, it says in Romans chapter 12, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, which are holy and pleasing to God. To offer our bodies, our lives, as a living sacrifice to God. For this is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. So all those things we just talked about. Anger, the lusting, the brokenness, telling lies, being a hypocrite, all that's the pattern of the world. We don't do that anymore. No longer conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And how do you renew your mind? You come to church, you get involved and do ministry, you make sacrifices for the sake of the gospel, you sing hymns, you praise God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you study the Bible, you hang out with other Christians. You exhort one another, hold each other accountable, and that is how you renew your mind. That's how you become more like Jesus and less like the world. But we don't get up in the morning and say, what can I do to make me happy today? It's not about me. It's all about God. We can't do it without the Holy Spirit. You can't. You can be good for a while, but you're going to fall off the wagon. You're going to be good for a while, and somebody's going to make you mad, cut you off in line while you're driving. You're going to have road rage. You're going to see some man or woman that is just going to light your fire, and you're going to let your mind wander. You're going to tell a lie. You're going to get caught in a lie. You're going to be embarrassed, so you're going to lie some more. We can't do it without the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to be transformed from the inside out. And the only way to do that is to surrender, is to give our lives as a living sacrifice to the Lord our God. That is the only chance we have. Surrender and ask the Holy Spirit to come into your life. That's what we need to do. God loves you, and so do I.